Welcome to an HBO podcast for the HBO series Deadwood. Up next, Ian McShane talks about the new season and his character, Al Swearengen.
Well, the season this year, season three, starts literally where last season went off. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks later. And the introduction of Hurst. As the season progresses this year, it's why is Hurst still here? It was welcomed at first, you know, the big guy comes to town and is he here for the gold? Which he had an enormous stake in Deadwood. His main one was in Leed, which is a town not far away, but why is he in Deadwood? And then it becomes more complicated. He seems to want to take over the town, which naturally irks Swearengen and Bullock to some extent. And why is he here? And why is he trying to... What's he trying to do? And that's really what the first few episodes are about, is Swearengen figuring out, well, fine, he's come to town and we'll try and get on because civilization's coming to Deadwood too. I mean, you know, you've got the deal with, you know, are they going to become a state on their own? Do they become a territory? What are they aiming for? They've tried to make these deals and trying to be as square about it as they can, trying to pay off the right people. And Hurst seems to have some underlying motive, whatever. But it's still, Bullock's instincts are to, you know, get this guy out of town. And Swearengen, being a little older, a little more astute about things, says, no, there's something more to it than this, or there's even less to it than this. Why is he going to all this trouble of, you know, trying to upset the balance of the town? Is he going for the widow's gold claim, which is the largest gold claim, Garrett's claim? And the unholy alliance that Bullock and Swearengen have makes them even closer in a way, because they're like, if you like, the fathers of the town, and trying to figure out what is he trying to do. At the same time, trying to get on with the business of, you know, making their money and getting on with life. You know, David writes, Deadwood is this great sprawling within the bounds of Deadwood. All these characters that come to life and the people try and get on with each other. And that's very much what it is. It's trying to get on with each other. How did they make life work? It must have been incredibly tough in those days. And they don't need this extra presence of Hurst, who's just sort of there. He takes over the hotel. And it's also trying to bring some kind of government society, which is what they're aiming towards. You know, things must change. And things have changed, and that's the great thing I think about Milch, that he just writes extraordinary stuff for actors to do, and for an audience, I think. I mean, life must have been incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. But you get on with it, and that's Swearengen's practicality. I mean, I speak for the character, and he gets on with life. Whatever happens, you just got to go through it. He doesn't have an emotional life, in a sense. I mean, he does, it's lived out by everything around him, but what he surrounds himself with are people like, you know, Jewel, undertrodden of society. And I think what Milch is trying to create is a microcosm of American society in that particular time, and how it, because of the Industrial Revolution, which hadn't reached out here, obviously, by then, but it's coming, a more, should we say, you know, a normal way of living. But we have women come to town, they build a schoolhouse, they have children. And I think he kind of likes that in a way. And in the middle of this, there's this Hurst problem. What is Hurst doing here? And that is the main thrust of the season. But because with Hurst was such a very powerful man, and Swearengen, you can't just kill Hurst. You can't kill her. He'd have killed him, you know, the first time he came into town. You can't do that. So they have to find another way of dealing with it, which is going to be the problem. What does he want? Why is he, you know, is he just here to screw us around? Is he making his own deals with it? And we all have to deal with it as we go along. I think that also the other stuff that comes along is the relationships of, Trixie's now involved with Solstar. And Swearengen likes that. He loves Trixie. Or that Swearengen likes to look upon himself as a savior of lost causes. You know, I mean, he has Jewel. He has an affection for this. The tailor, Gustav, who's half a fact, Merrick, who's the newspaper man. And Swearengen knows that these people are all useful in what the town's going to be. Deadwood is the microcosm of American society at the time. I mean, that's what he's done. All these people from disparate parts of the world, wherever they came from, and the women too. But they're survivors. They've got to be. If they're not, they'd disappear quickly. But the town is as important a character as every person in it. As it grows, I mean, you know, and also the sets have grown this year. I mean, you have the outside, you know, place for children down there, the new schoolhouse. Bullock's built a house for his wife. Alma's got a new house. Poor old Ellsworth, you know, did the honorable thing. But he, you know, Ellsworth and Tom Noddall are the two good guys in town, you know. Really, and Charlie Udder, of course, you know, who's hopelessly in love with Stubbs and doesn't know how to approach her. But that's fabulous, you know. Alma became a dope freak, you know, and Trixie, having done it many times. Also, Alma had a miscarriage, and Trixie's had about seven of them. So Trixie's was a woman of the world in many ways, especially as played by the wonderful Paula Malcolmson. And likes her. But, I mean, I think they'd help each other. Who else are they going to help? They know the men don't. Men need them for screwing. I mean, that's basically what they're sort of about. That's what they're treated as. But there's more to it than that. So I think, you know, that Jane and Joan are naturally drawn to each other as abused women. Trixie and Alma, because, you know, they've experienced similar things from completely different levels of society. But there's a mutual fondness between them. Anna Gunn, who plays Mrs. Bullock, Bullock's wife, is the practical, reserved, but strong like a rod of steel, which, you know, and he's fallen in love with her for her own, and everybody respects her for her own personality. They came on because, you know, the first year the women were strong, but it's great that they've developed through the end of series one and through series two and now come into their own, you know.
Do you have a specific soliloquy or you know, a monologue that you've done that you particularly like?
They're all good. I've never read such extraordinary stuff that comes out of Milch's brain. They should preserve it in Smithsonian after he... Don't go yet, though, David. Got a few more seasons to go, you know? No, he writes for every character. I mean, he's written a beautiful thing for Jane at the end of this episode, this wonderful soliloquy dreaming about Wild Bill and whatever. No, I you know, like the scene we did this morning was outside, and I said he changed it from throwing the body out to this much more amusing, taking the piss out of Hearst's speech. So, but once you've done, you know, you're on to the next one. And you don't think about how good they are when you do them, you know. I just read them and go, Jesus. But I'm always thrilled when you read some stuff, because it truly isn't disappointing. Monologues also are actually easier to do than scenes that you have a long speech and then somebody goes, and you go, off you go, and then somebody goes, and you go off again. Actually, they're even tougher. Monologues, you get into your own set way of doing them. But they must never appear flashy. But, you know, that's what Milch is there for. They're always, you know, the acting-wise, he's on top of it. I mean, David comes in, rehearse with him, goes away while they set up the cameras, comes back, sees the first rehearsal, makes a few notes, and goes away. So you're always aware of what you want. So it's a hugely collaborative effort with, you know, depending on who's there, what day.
You as yourself, as Ian, do you think that back in 1877, if you were in the real Deadwood in Dakota Territory, do you think that you would survive this environment? Do you think you'd make it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've survived 40 years in this fucking business. You can do that, and that's half what it's about. Not about talent, not about luck. Some of it's survival sometimes. So, yeah, I think so. It'll be okay.
Check out HBO.com to find out more about your favorite HBO programs.